So let me go ahead and get started. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I don't want to read verses 12 and 13. First Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now, just to catch us up from, because I knew last week I was on Hannah's prayer, and just to catch us up to where we are here in our text here, and I may do a few messages from 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. But we read in the preceding chapters that the priests, the sons of Eli, did not know the Lord. Hophni and Phinehas. They did things that were and are an offense to God and caused the men of Israel to abhor the offering of the Lord, is what it says. The offering, of course, pictures Christ. So they caused men to abhor Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We also have Samuel, Hannah's son, who was given to the service of the Lord. The Lord sent a man, and it does not say who it was, to Eli to tell him that God was going to destroy his family, basically. Then God came to Samuel at night, calling Samuel three times, at which times Samuel went to Eli because he thought it was Eli calling him. But Eli perceived it was the Lord calling Samuel, and Eli told Samuel to lay down, and if he heard it again, to answer the Lord. I just like this, how it says it. It says, "And the Lord came," on the fourth time, it says, "And the Lord came and stood and called," and stood and called as at other times. This fourth time Samuel answered the Lord. God then began to tell Samuel what he was going to do to Eli again and his family. And after some coaxing from Eli, Samuel told Eli what the Lord had said. Here, the place of rest in Shiloh, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. This brings us to the events that directly lead up to our text. We try to fight on our own. We will be defeated, and the enemy will blaspheme.
Yes, sir.
If we are one of his, he must fight our battles for us. This is where our rock lies. So let's go through this morning. Defeat on your own. God wins by his might. First of all, we have to notice here that everything that transpired was intended by God. All of this that was going to happen was already determined, Walter. It was already purposed. It was going to happen. God told Eli three times these things were going to happen. But men by nature think they have what it takes to defeat the enemy. They, or we, think that because God has given us something that we can go out and fight the battle on our own. This is what we see in chapter 4. The men of Israel, at least from what I see in this chapter, they were not instructed by God or his prophet to go out to fight this enemies, the Philistines. They despised his offering. That is, they despised Jesus Christ and thought they would go out and win a battle. I know these priests, the sons of Eli, did evil and caused them to despise the sacrifice. But that is no excuse to despise and to do that which is not right in the sight of God.
Exactly.
These, by their actions, were saying they did not need Christ. God has got us here to this point, and now we can go to battle on our own. As long as we have God in our corner backing us up. No. God knows before you do, and he will have the outcome set. He will not allow anyone to despise his offering. God needs no one to fight the battle for him, because there is none that can fight this battle. They first went out, and 4,000 were killed. So what do they do next? They fetched the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh.
Yeah.
God did not tell them to do this. But you have to notice how it says that. 1 Samuel 4 and verse 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch.
Yeah.
Not, exactly. God, what should we do? Or, God, will you be with us? Can you fight for us? No, they said, Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.
Exactly.
So they were going to do something with what God had given them. And I want to be clear about what I'm saying. God gave them the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, sir.
They thought that what they did with what God gave them would win a victory.
Yeah.
30,000 men fell that day.
Yeah.
We will not do anything with what God has given us. Because what He has given us is not doable by us. God has given us in the Ark of the Covenant, that true Ark of the Covenant, His Son. But they took the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat upon it and used it as a rabbit's foot.
Exactly.
This Ark, of course, contained the two tables of stone, those unbroken tables of stone. So the tables of stone were the covenant, and the holder of those tables was the Ark, hence the Ark of the Covenant. I know it's kind of simple, but that's what it's saying. The mercy seat was placed upon that. This is where Yahweh would be. Only Jesus Christ has the power and the right to sit on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
Now, we know from previous books in Scripture that God would tell them where to go and where to take this Ark. They were not just to decide to take it on their own when and where they wanted to go with it.
Yeah.
They were not to decide for themselves where to take it. But they did this. They used it, as they said, as I said, as a lucky rabbit's foot. But God is not in what you do and what you don't do. So what happened in 1 Samuel 4, verse 11? And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. God was in charge, and what He was pleased to happen was going to happen. And for some, this was not a good thing. Once Eli heard that the Ark was taken, he fell from his chair backwards and broke his neck and died. I'm just amazed when I think about this. God just had someone tell Eli what happened in the war, and when he heard it, God used the man against himself to kill him. The only thing that comes from such activities as what these did, the only thing born from that, from trying to add your own doings to what God does and to ignore God's word and God's way is this, Ichabod. The glory of the Lord will depart and God will finish the work He started and He will destroy those who cause His name to be blasphemed among the infidels.
Yes, sir.
1 Samuel 4, 21 and 22 we read, And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken. And because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken. We also see what happens when we think we have some part in our salvation. It will cause the enemies of God to blaspheme. The Ark of God was taken. Men, those who hate God, when you try to put your hands to a thing, will take those things and blaspheme His name. What did they do? They took the Ark of the Covenant and set it by Dagon, the god of their own hands. This world will blaspheme the God of Scripture when you try to put your hands to God's work. If you try to add something into what God does, this world will blaspheme and trample the Lord of glory. But God can win His own battle. He needs no help from man. God wins by His might. Number two, God needs no help from you and I. What God does is forever and it is right. What happened when they placed the ark with Dagon? Dagon bowed down to God. 1 Samuel 5:3. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. But this was not all. They set Dagon back up, and God this time cut off the head and the hands of Dagon. Mm-hmm. Don't think you will blaspheme God and get away with it.
Exactly.
Who was here with the Ark of the Covenant? Yeah. Were there some Israelites in the corner that was waiting there to pull down Dagon? No, no one. God was there. And God can handle the enemy by himself with no help from you and I.
Amen.
But we also read that the hand of the Lord was heavy on them who took the ark and placed it there.
Yeah.
He struck everyone with emerods, it says, a burning ulcer. And from what is said, these were burning hemorrhoid ulcers. Whatever it was, it caused them to want to get rid of the ark from out of their midst.
That's right.
Psalm 76:10 says, surely the wrath of man will praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain.
Yeah. Amen.
What these men did was wrath toward God.
Yeah.
And we can actually see God causing that wrath of man to praise him.
Mm-hmm.
What did they finally do? They said, we have to get rid of this thing.
That's right.
Men's work took the ark of God from the place of peace, Shiloh. And they took that which was the people of God's help to a place of heavy destruction, which is Ashdod. They took it from Shiloh to Ebenezer to Ashdod. The heavy destruction is not that man would heavily destroy God, but that God would heavily destroy man.
Yeah.
The works of our hands will bring heavy destruction upon us because God does not need any help. And what God does is sure and right. You try to lay your hands to what he does, you will be destroyed. Where was the ark sent next? And keep in mind our text. But where was it sent next, this ark of the covenant? Gath, the winepress. The ark of the covenant had to go through the winepress. Talking about the gospel, there is gospel here. Jesus Christ had to go through this in my stead so that I would not have to go through this and be destroyed. Where does it go to next? Ekron. What does this mean? Eradication. Jesus Christ going through the winepress of God's wrath in my stead has eradicated all my sin and sins so that God no longer sees any of them. We see next in chapter 6 of 1 Samuel that just as the Egyptians did, so will these Philistines do. They wanted to get rid of this thing, and they knew God was the one doing this to them. They did not know this God, but they knew he was doing all of this. So they sent the ark away, but not by itself. They sent it away with gold. God will take care of us, and he will use the world to accomplish this. We have no need to worry about anything. He is in absolute total control of all things. Next, the cart with the ark being guided by God himself went to the house of the sun, Beth Shemesh. But we still see man and his pride. There were those of Beth Shemesh who wanted to put their hands to what God does and put their hands to what only God can be a part of. They wanted to rummage through the Ark of the Covenant. They wanted to put their hands to what Jesus Christ did. What happened? God destroyed them. 1 Samuel 6:19. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the Ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,010 men. And the people lamented, because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. So they called for someone to come and get the ark, and so it was taken. Abinadab, father of generosity, it stayed there for 20 years.
That's right.
So the time from chapter 4 to chapter 7 in our text was somewhere around 22 years, I believe. But we then read this in chapter 7, verse 3. 1 Samuel 7, verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. If you are turned, you will turn to God first. Then you will turn away from all your idols.
Yes, sir.
For if you try to turn from your idols first, you will never turn to God. God does not need your help at any time.
Yeah.
If you try to put forth your hand at all and try to help out God, you will be destroyed. Just turn to him for your help. Then turn from your idols.
Yeah.
What first happens when you first start to turn to the Lord? 1 Samuel 7:6. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord.
Yes.
And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. We begin to confess, we have sinned against God. So now when God causes those who are his to worship him, they acknowledge they have sinned, and now what is their cry? What do they begin to do now as opposed to let us do this or let us do that?
Yeah.
What do they say now? Verse 8, 1 Samuel 7:8. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistine.
Amen.
Their cry now is, Lord, save us.
Yeah.
What does Samuel do? He looks to Christ. 1 Samuel 7:9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him.
Amen.
The Lord hears the cries of those who are his, who cry knowing he is their only help.
Yeah.
So what does God have the children of Israel to do now?
Yeah.
So that they can win the battle? Nothing. God does it all. 1 Samuel 7:10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. God destroyed them. This is what discomfited means. He caused them to be so disoriented that the children of Israel went out and then took care of them. Where did they do this slaughter of the Philistines? 1 Samuel 7:11, it says, And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar.
Yeah.
Bethkar, house of pasture. God will fight your battles and God will win the battle.
Yes, sir.
You will be engaged with the enemy. But it will be God who will discomfit them. You will do this where the gospel is being proclaimed. That is the house of pasture. That is where the battle will end up. That is where the battle will end up. The gospel being proclaimed, giving honor, praise, and glory to his name. The battle will conquer your heart and mind, turning you to the Lord, and it will conquer any of those who want to fight against God and put their hands to what he has done. The gospel is food for our souls because it tells us what he has done. So we now are back at our text. That place where God has defeated our foe. That old nature which hates God with all it is. God has discomfited. That is, destroyed me so that I can now serve him. He will also discomfit any who try to destroy me. God has destroyed all my enemies. There will come a day when I will no longer even have this flesh with me.
Yeah.
This flesh, that which wants to lay its hand to God's work all the time. I pray it be taken away, and it will one day, where we will be able to cry, Death has been swallowed up in victory. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to read verses 53 through 57. First Corinthians 15:53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Putting our hands to what God has done in Christ is a perilous thing to do. Jesus Christ has taken care of all of this. We will one day put this body of flesh down, giving praise and honor and glory to Him for conquering death. Where is it that Samuel placed this stone? Between Mizpah and Shin, and that is my title. What is between Mizpah and Shin? My Ebenezer, that stone, Jesus Christ. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'll come, and no further. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Yes. So the rock, which is Jesus Christ, is placed in the middle of the watchtower, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is He that is between me and the crag or cliff, which is Christ. The great gulf is filled by Him, and all those who bow to Him will pass over, having their feet placed on that solid rock. So what do I have to worry about? Nothing. So what do we read last of all here in closing in 1 Samuel 7:13? So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. God has defeated my enemies. That is, He has defeated this flesh, and He will defeat all those who hate Him. All I do is always and continually look to Him by His mercy and grace. Amen. Dear old God, thank You for allowing us to proclaim Your word, dear Lord. Open our hearts, minds, that we may know You, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.